Welcome to Green by Nature, the new podcast from Greenbelt Group, the UK's leading organisation for responsible land stewardship in new home developments. This is the place to be if you want to enjoy a deeper understanding of what's really happening in the business of house building and land management. From the vital grassroots work to the decision-making boardrooms, in every episode we chat to industry experts and leading commentators to get to the heart of the news, views and important events. Responsible land stewardship is often a complex business, requiring a range of specialists in areas such as horticulture, arboriculture, biodiversity, sustainable urban drainage, and the list goes on and on. As the UK's leading land steward, all of Greenbelt Group's contractors must ensure a level of maintenance that's of the highest quality. And so in today's episode, we chat to Paul Allen, who is Development Manager of GSB Landscapes. This is a family-run company and has been taking care of development land for more than 35 years. Paul tells us what it takes to become a Greenbelt Group team player, with a focus on being eco-conscious off and on site. He also looks at, yes, you've guessed it, BNG. We're also delighted to welcome back to Green by Nature Donald Ferguson, Greenbelt Group's Green Space Services Director. But first, here's Paul.
My name is Paul Allen. I am the Development Manager with GSB Landscapes. We're a grounds maintenance provider and family-run, been operating for more than 35 years. So we've been a contractor of Greenbelt for nearly 10 years. We operate West and Central Scotland for them, looking after approximately 70 sites, all ranging in different sizes and what have you. And yeah, we carry out annual maintenance for them through the summer season and winter provision as well.
I'm particularly interested in the changes that you've seen in the industry while you've been working with GSB, particularly the way that GSB has embraced eco-friendly practices. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was something when I was in another industry previous to this. So when I came into the business, it was something that Stephen and Palmer, the directors, wanted me to look at as where we could improve, certainly our eco or green credentials. They've always been pretty mindful of that and looking to where we can be better. So looking into that, I think there was kind of four main areas that I felt we could improve or certainly look into where we could improve, which was in terms of where we got our energy from, the equipment we were using, how efficient everything we used was, and also to look at trying modernising or being the forefront of what we could do. And from that, and some excellent advice from Business Gateway and Business Energy Scotland, we were able to put in practice kind of different projects, which really helped that. So on the case of where our energy came from, obviously our supplier uses 100% renewable electricity, which was great, but we felt we could maybe push a bit more in that and look to be as self-sufficient as we could. So we sought to look to install a solar PV system, which is solar panels and inverter and battery. We looked at obviously there's solar, there's wind power, various other bits and pieces. We decided, based on the advice we were given, that solar would probably be the best option for us. And we were extremely fortunate we were able to call on some funding towards that. During the summer, it's obviously fantastic the way it runs. It runs at a surplus for what we need. So obviously we are running the office and the yard off of that electricity, charging in an electric vehicle from it, and we're obviously powering all our battery chargers as well. Even doing that, there's a surplus of energy created. Even with the Scottish sunshine, there is a surplus there.
That's incredible.
Which then can get sold back to the grid, or as we use, we store it in our battery system. During the winter, it's obviously not as good, but currently on a day like this where it's not too overcast, it will generate enough to power the office as stands, which is incredible to think that we're able to do that without having an incredible source of solar there. Where we could, we have stepped into using battery equipment. So we have invested quite heavily in long reach hedge cutters, your standard hedge cutters, battery powered strimmers, and that's across our fleet and our teams. So every team has the ability to go to site and perform their roles, trying to do so efficiently as possible, both in the environmental sense and also in the cost savings to us directly as a business by not running fuel. Another aspect we looked at the modernisation, first of all, was to try and look at an electronic system away from a paper-based system of job sheets, tick sheets for the guys to fill in. So we looked at it, putting them onto an iPad system. So now every one of our squads has an iPad. From that iPad, they're able to access the Greenbelt RTR, which they can fill in their site reports. They can receive their updates from their ROM, but as well as that handles all our risk assessments are on there, all their health and safety information's on there. They're able to carry out other HR things from there, submit holidays, etc. Obviously, the communication's been greatly improved as well because we're able to email things to them and not rely on bumping into them in the yard in the morning or anything like that. It means it's real time information. On the back of that, we're looking to bring in our own system. And that job management system will enable a greater transparency between ourselves and the client. The client will be able to look into that system to see when we're going to be on site, when we've been on site, the various tasks that have been carried out, feedback from the ops when they've been on site of maybe things that need repaired or etc. etc. But by doing all of that, it will mean we are removed from using paper for the guys, which is a big step. We're looking into to trying to get ISO 14001, which also a big environmental quality standard, and that will certainly be the basis for us pushed forward in that. I know that's something that Greenbelt have already had in the past, and it certainly serves as a marker for ourselves to move towards as well.
Do you find that homeowners and customers appreciate what you're doing in terms of your eco initiatives?
I don't know if they know particularly about what we're doing in a greener sense. I think there's been a lot more scrutiny, but also appreciation in what we do. I know that the other people speaking in the podcast have spoken very much about being the people that come up and cut grass every 2 weeks. And I think that has been what ground maintenance has been viewed at by the public for a long, long time. And I think for all the bad things the pandemic brought, one of the good things that's came of it is people are far more appreciative of what they have at their doorstep, whether that's, woodland areas or just the bit of grass next to their house. They're far more appreciative of it. And because of that, it's meant the engagement has been better. We're extremely fortunate that the customer care team at Greenbelt are fantastic, along with our ROM, Duncan, who deals with the majority of our areas, and Halleck as well, obviously, deals with some other bits and pieces. And the conversation and communication between ourselves, them, and ultimately the end client is fantastic. The wealth of knowledge that's there is able to provide an education and genuine good quality feedback to a client before it gets to ourselves is really fantastic. That level of support that's there enables us to spend more time and focusing on delivering a really good service than trying to carry out that aspect ourselves of explaining to people why we do things a certain way, etc. Another aspect of the customer care, which is really positive, is that they try and do the best for the client in the situation as well, but at the same time being respectful of the contractor.
Now, a Green by Nature podcast wouldn't be a Green by Nature podcast without some talk of BNG legislation, which has dropped recently. How are you at GSB preparing for BNG?
Of course, we need to take a leap from Greenbelt on that. But what I would say is that that is definitely going to be at the forefront and the leading edge if Greenbelt are involved on it. As a company, they've always been at the forefront of anything like this. They will ensure that it's done to the best standard that it can be in the most efficient way. They are extremely responsible when it comes to things like this. Obviously, the full team there have an incredible wealth of knowledge in terms of this, and they will without doubt do what's best for each of the developments. We look forward to working with them on it. They're always very, very good at ensuring they have that on site. They address it constantly already with their gap planting or any things like that that are add-ons to sites. There's other companies out there who are guilty of establishing a site and that's the end of the investment on that site for the future with outside of normal maintenance. And Greenbelt definitely aren't guilty of that. They're extremely positive at looking at other ways to invest in the site to make sure that the clients have an ongoing improvement plan there. I would strongly suggest that Greenbelt don't require legislation to make them do anything like this. This is part of the fundamental makeup to want to do things like this anyways, given their background and knowledge. So it's exciting to work with them on that to provide spaces that are going to be excellent for everybody involved in them, including obviously nature.
And now we go to Donald Ferguson from Greenbelt Group to hear about how they choose and work with contractors. Greenbelt Group has a number of trusted contractors with whom you've built an excellent relationship, as demonstrated by what Paul from GSB was saying earlier. How do you find your contractors and what do you look for?
Yes, thank you for that. Good question. We have around 35 contractors across the UK who maintain our public open spaces, with several more specialist contractors available to us. Some of the contractors, like GSB, I've been working with us in some capacity for 15 to 20 years, which really allows us to build these long-lasting relationships with trust built on both sides, which is why I think in previous episodes we've mentioned partnerships and how we work with our contractors and residents and how we build this. We also have several service level agreements in place with a number of contractors to ensure them the long-term security, both for them and for us financially and on terms of the standards that we actually expect and they expect from us. Our method of finding contractors and assessing them to see if they are suitable, like most of our business, has developed over the past few years. We now have processes in place to ensure that we have the correct contractor in place. That's done, I mean, the initial contact can be whether it's ourselves looking for a contractor and actually going and calling these guys in areas or regions. Or if the contractor has contacted us, then we will send out a PQQ, which is a pre-qualifier questionnaire. This includes information on insurances, staff qualifications, accreditations, experience, policies, anti-slavery policies, environmental, living wage, these sort of things we'll look at. If the contractor has all the correct equipment and machinery just suitable, that's just something we'll go and visit them. We will arrange for a chat, maybe visit the yards, have a chat over a coffee, talk about the sites that they already maintain, arrange a visit to these sites so we can see if their standards are up to what we expect and if they match our own. Also, these they may not want to work with us after these chats, so it's actually good for them to know after speaking with us what we expect and how we'd like to have partnerships and long-term relationships and if that's suitable for them as well. So that's the process of how we kind of get there. What we're looking for, this is probably an essay I could have wrote. So, yeah, there's so many top quality professional contractors out there. we're quite specific in what we're looking for. So it's a mixture of everything, I think. Again, because we want to build these relationships, good communication is obviously very important. It's important for the relationship. It's important for relaying instructions. It's important to get feedback. All of it is very important to us. Working with our customers, you know, it's good communication is essential. Obviously, the standards have to be high. We expect a certain level of maintenance. Our homeowners expect a certain level of maintenance and the standards, and we have to provide that. Reaction to things that go wrong. It's a dynamic environment that things do go wrong. Trees fall down, you know, things can flood. But if somebody's quick to react and it helps us no end, and it helps the homeowners no end as well, it's that, yeah, being accessible and quick to react to things are quite important to us. Reliability, obviously, we expect them to be there a certain amount of times, expect them to adhere to our written statement of services, so that reliability has to be in place. We have to be able to trust them to go to site and do the work, although we do have our own guys inspecting the sites on behalf of ourselves and the homeowners to make sure that our standards are being met. Competitive pricing is obviously a thing we'd have to look at as well. But I personally don't think that, well, I know the cheapest isn't best, and I don't like going down cheapest is best. I do think that it shouldn't be the most expensive in the market either. It has to be something that's affordable for our homeowners. So, you know, competitive pricing, not just in the routine maintenance for things like tree works and items that might creep up now and then. I think the pricing is very, very important. I think Paul probably touched on it, and it's about, you know, that innovation side of a contractor is quite important to me. We've got a couple of contractors who are really ahead of the curve, GSB being one of them, especially in their greening, pardon the pun, of the business, you know, that they really get it. And that's quite important. There's awards, a lot of contractors have won awards for innovation, and I think it's a really strong area for me, that you want people who are going to develop with you, you want people who are going to develop with the industry and not just stand still and are prepared to, you know, as we change, they need to sort of fit in and change with us as well, and that's what we're kind of looking for. And that really helps our maintenance for the homeowners and ourselves going forward. I think honesty as well is probably a key one to all of this. You know, when I think we've got that across the board with our guys, you know, we've worked quite hard to get, as I said, the 35 contractors up, running, trusted. The relationships are there. We meet for reviews annually. They can talk about their problems. We can talk about ours. It's all very honest. I think last year was the first time we didn't change a contractor for our annual maintenance, we were quite chuffed about that, because that speaks for the standard of maintenance. And it also speaks, I think, for us that we've chosen the right guys to do these jobs for us. So overall, I think we're looking for good people to do good work for a good price.
Thanks to Donald and Paul for talking to me. This was the last episode in the first series of Green by Nature. We'll be back in the new year. Music for Green by Nature was King of the Dance Floor by Strange Crazy.